be here today. I visited this church before. I wanted to check to see if you were receiving good preaching. And then I felt I had to intervene. So, just joking, of course. Excited about what God is doing in the midst of his people. Look with anticipation to what God will do in years to come. You celebrate 6 years. I pray it will be 60 and even more. You've just heard the reading of Scripture from Matthew. It's a well-known story. And I felt during the week as I was meditating on the Word, I saw that there are some valuable lessons in this passage. Interestingly enough, I titled our reflection today, Simple Lessons We Learn from a Donkey. Simple Lessons We Learn from a Donkey. The concept of learning from animals in Scripture is nothing new. For example, we go to the book of Proverbs, and the writer of Proverbs says, look at the ant. Learn from it. Probably the most famous of all examples is the example of Balaam in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. And interestingly enough, it is mentioned about 10 times in the New Testament, that story itself. You find it in the book of 2 Peter. Peter makes a nice comment about the donkey. He says, a dumb donkey speaking with a human voice restrained the prophet's madness. A dumb donkey. We see the same story mentioned in the book of Revelation, in the epistle of Jude. So the fact that we can learn from animals is nothing new in the New Testament or in the Bible. We can always learn from God's creation. Before we delve into the core of the passage, I want you to prick your minds, get your juices flowing this morning. I want you to think about the story. For example, we see this donkey carrying Jesus not only into Jerusalem, but he's carrying Jesus to fulfill the purpose of his coming to earth. You know that when Jesus was going toward Jerusalem, we understand from the language of Scripture that he was eyeing the cross. He was seeing the cross at the end of the road. So this donkey helped carry Jesus toward fulfilling that. That's one thing you can be thinking about. Another thing you can be thinking about is the fact that Jesus did not separate between the donkey and its foal. Now, from the language of the text, we realize that the donkey was a female. And as if Christ was caring enough, he didn't want to separate the mother from its child. Now, how that he ended up riding both of them, that's a detail we won't get into, but it's an interesting detail that we can discuss at some other opportunity. But Jesus was very careful. And mind you, it was all in fulfillment of Scripture, of prophecy, as Matthew quoted. And I will refer to this a little bit later in our reflection. And then I want you to be thinking about the fact that the Bible says Jesus was in need of these animals. The Lord needs them. Here's a question. Does the Lord need anything? I was reminded immediately when I underlined that the story in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, when Jesus went out to the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, and he met with the disciples. The disciples were fishing. And the Lord asks the question, "Do you have any fish?" They didn't. He commanded them to fish, and they brought out a lot of fish. But the interesting fact was, when they got to the shore, Jesus already had some fish on the grill. In reality, he didn't need their fish. As if Jesus wants to make us feel good whenever he asks us to do something. Well, anyway, these are just to get your juices flowing. But we come to the core of these lessons. I want to reflect on three lessons this morning about this donkey and its foal. Three lessons. Number one, availability. Availability. It wasn't very hard to spot an available donkey. You saw the text. You go into the village. They did, at once, immediately, they spotted an available donkey. He was available to the Lord. Are you? Are you? You see, what happened here was a Jewish custom. Actually, it originated with the Persians and then the Romans and the Greeks, and it evolved. It had to do with the postage system or postal system, and it just evolved. And the tradition is called angaria. And that's when an animal is requisitioned to be used by an important figure in the town. That's what happened. The animal was requisitioned. Now, because it was available, it was immediately recognized. Didn't take long. It's interesting, you can recognize available Christians to serve the Lord very quickly. Their passion comes across, their excitement, their love for Christ. Their love for the Word comes straight through. You don't have a hard time. They're few, I understand. But you can recognize them quickly. So, they got the donkey. It was available. And if you do a comparative reading between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that the whole interaction with the owners of the donkey and the foal presented us with the authority of Christ, for one, and the credibility of Christ, because he told them, we will take them and bring them back. Now, let's imagine for a second I walk up to you and say, I need to use your car. I'll take it and I'll bring it back. You don't know me from Adam. And I'm asking to use your car. Would you give it to me? Just saying. Okay? That's what happened with Jesus. The Lord needs it. We'll take it. We'll bring it back. Apparently, Jesus had credibility. Here's the deal. Sometimes we think, oh, they're not asking me to do anything in church. They're not giving me responsibility. I go back to my first question, are you available? That's one. Number two, have you a success story that gives you credibility? What's the success story? Faithfulness in little things. Faithfulness in little things. You take that idea and run with it. This reminds me of some Bible characters. Take, for example, Moses. Moses was in the Sinai, goes to the burning bush. The Lord says, Moses, I want you to work for me. And Moses, in the beginning, says, here am I. But then, when the discussion evolved, Moses said, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. Listen, this is an important principle. If you are available, God is asking for that. He's not asking for your resume. He's not asking for what you can or cannot do. You'll understand more in a minute. Take, for example, Isaiah. For Moses, it was limitations. For Isaiah, goes into the presence of the Lord. Who will go for us? Here am I. But remember what was said before that? Woe unto me, I am of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of people with unclean lips. Unclean lips. Sin. Oh, so you may not have limitations or lack of experience, you're available, but you may have sin. But we just read that Christ specializes in dealing with sin. So bottom line, you have no excuse for not being available. Learn from that donkey. He was available. Number two, humility. By the way, did I ever tell you, before we go into humility, what is the common factor between a short-winded Baptist preacher and Santa Claus? They both don't exist. And the difference between a long sermon and a hostage situation is a very thin line. All right. Anybody in a hurry? So we come to humility. This donkey was very humble. Think a little bit about him. Corrie ten Boom, some of you may recognize the name, spoke about humility when fame comes. How can you remain humble when you become famous? She said, these are her words, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and everybody was waving palm branches and throwing garments on the road, do you think for a moment it ever occurred to the donkey that any of that was for him? Two streets up from here is the location of the Armenian Brotherhood Evangelical Church. Just two streets up. One of the leaders of that brotherhood, years ago, he's with the Lord now. I knew him very well. We were in a prayer meeting together, joint prayer meeting. It was an all-nighter that we were together praying. And he prayed and said, Lord, I'm a donkey, tied. Please use me. Please use me. Now, on one hand, it was hard not to laugh. On the other, it was so humble of him to compare himself to this donkey. And by the way, we don't know if this donkey was used once, because if we read Scripture, we realize that Jesus entered Jerusalem 3 days in a row, three times, every time expressing one of his roles, one as king, one as prophet, and one as high priest. You may want to meditate on that sometime. But apparently this donkey understood it was not about him. It was about Jesus. I'm sure there were other donkeys in the village. But it goes to show that God can do easily without us. He chooses to use us. It's in his providential dealings with us. But we have to remember, humility demands that we remember that using us is his prerogative. We cannot earn such election. It's God's election to use us. So when God does use us, that should lead us to humility, not self-indulgence, pride. I'm reminded of two examples in the New Testament of humility. One was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful character in the New Testament. I mean, if he caused Herod to feel guilty and scared and eventually ended up cutting John's head, he must have had quite an influence, an effect on people. But here's John telling us, I must decrease that he may increase. Again, the same idea. It's not about me, it's about him. That's humility. That's humility. Another character in the New Testament, which not many people talk about, if at all, or even think about. Is a man in the book of Acts, chapter 9, in the story of Saul of Tarsus, his name of Ananias. His name is Ananias. He bursts on the scene out of nowhere. We don't know him. We know nothing about him. We don't know his family. We don't know his background. We don't understand what he does and what he doesn't. Nothing. He bursts on the scene. The Lord is speaking to him. Go, do this, tell Saul this, baptize him, etc., etc. Then Ananias disappears again. And we hear never again about him. Nothing. Think for a moment. Ananias baptized a man who ended up being Paul. Could he brag? Oh, of course. Of course. But we don't hear him bragging. We never hear from him again or about him again. Humility. It's about him, not about us. This brings me to the last lesson. He finished the task. We know that Jesus entered, got into Jerusalem. That donkey delivered. And he finished the task. He didn't draw attention to himself. Although we know from Scripture that this donkey was prophesied about. Wow. They didn't prophesy about me. Or about any of us, but this donkey was prophesied about. There is an allusion to it as far back as the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Just an allusion. Then you read in Zechariah, and you read in Isaiah, and then there are a number of times that we feel that Scripture is talking about it. So, he could have bragged. He could have said, okay, enough. You know, I'll deliver you until the door of the city. You can walk. I'm a famous donkey. The Bible has written about me. No, he wanted to finish the task. And he did. And that's what the Bible focuses on. A lot of people start well. But the question is, do they finish? Reflect on your own life, especially if you're up in age. How are you finishing? Are you finishing well? I want to read you a story about a person. His name is John Stephen Ahwari from Tanzania. You've never heard of his name. But he was on the cover of Time magazine. BBC News did a program talking about him. As a child, I heard his story, and it impacted me. John Ahwari was a Tanzanian runner, marathon runner. He ran for his country in the 1968 Olympics. Listen to his story. While competing in the marathon in Mexico City, Ahwari cramped up due to the high altitude of the city. He had not trained at such an altitude back in his country. At the 19th kilometer point during the 42 kilometer race, there was jockeying for position between some runners, and he was hit. He fell badly, wounding his knee and dislocating that joint, plus his shoulder hit hard against the pavement. He, however, continued running, finishing last among the 57 competitors who completed the race. 75 runners had started. Only 57 finished. The winner of the marathon, Mama Wolde of Ethiopia, finished in 2 hours 20 minutes. Ahwari finished in 3 hours 25 minutes. When there were only few thousand people left in the stadium and the sun has set, a television crew was sent out from the medal ceremony when word was received that there was one more runner about to finish. The ceremony, the medal ceremony was done. They had already given the gold medal, silver, bronze. Very few people were left in the stands. And then they realized there's one more runner coming in. I'll never forget his picture. He ended up running barefooted, bleeding from his knee that he had injured as he walked into the stadium. He finally crossed the finish line, and a cheer came from the small crowd. When interviewed later and asked why he continued running, he said, I want you to listen to this and remember it well. He said, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. How are you finishing your race? The donkey finished the race well. Delivered the Savior to the temple. And you can read what Jesus did in the temple. A lot of things went on. Donkey delivered. He was available. He was humble. He never assumed that it was about him. And he finished the task. Are you available with humility and willingness to run the race to the finish, to claim the prize that is only given to us by Christ Himself? Would you bow your heads with me, please? You can ask yourself the question, if you're available for Christ to use you. If you recognize that it's all about Him, not about you. If you're willing to run the race to the end. Father, the word is yours, the work is yours, and the results in our lives are entrusted to your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would sustain the seed that has been planted because of your word, that you would nourish it, that it would bring fruit in our lives. Thank you for this church, for its leadership, for its people. May you be praised and blessed forever. In Jesus' name, amen.